Life can be better, and it starts right now with you.
Hey guys, welcome back to your Good Life Now podcast. I am Frankie Martinez, your host, and we finally have back on the podcast my beautiful, amazing wife, Maria Martinez. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
So glad to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we are talking today about, on the last episode, me and my daughters talked about The Chosen, which... Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you were not on that episode.
No, but I love The Chosen and I highly recommend it.
Yes. So, and if we do a Chosen part two,
I'll be on it.
Definitely. But you're here today.
Yep.
And what are we talking about?
We're going to be talking about the Jesus Revolution movie.
Yes. Amazing movie. Have you seen the movie? If you've seen the movie, this will just maybe be similar to the conversations you might have had. After watching it, if you've already seen it, you might get some more insights about it and be encouraged about it. If you haven't seen the movie, this podcast is specifically for you.
Yes.
Because it's hopefully going to inspire you to see the movie. Because just like The Chosen, I know a lot of people, friends of ours, who have not yet seen the Jesus Revolution.
Yeah. And I think it's good to do this to kind of encourage people, because some people don't know how the movie is. And I remember when I first saw the previews for it, I was skeptical too. And so I saw that a few of my friends went to watch it. So I DM them and I'm like, hey, how was it? And every single person said it was amazing, that, you know, I had to go watch it. And so I knew we were going to watch it as a family.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's something that I really wanted to see from the get-go, because it was about, I didn't know exactly who or what specifically. I knew it was about the Jesus movement, which we know a little bit about from the 70s. I mean, I was born in 78, you know, you were 77. Yeah. So we were part of that. But I remember reading about it, hearing about it. But even more importantly was, to me, was it had something to do, I know, with Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith, you know? Yeah. And for me, they played a huge role in my life. And so I knew I wanted to watch the movie. I knew I wanted to watch it. And we actually had tickets to see it in the theater. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't see it because our beautiful Roxy, our beautiful little dog, was... going through some health issues at the time, and she had just went to the vet that morning, I think, and we're like, oh, did she actually? I don't know. But she wasn't doing well, so we just couldn't go to the movies. We just canceled it. And we just watched it about 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
We bought it, so we were able to watch it at home. And, man, what an amazing, amazing movie. Mm-hmm. It just inspired us so much, and... I just think it was super amazing. I can't wait to watch it again one more time. It's just because it was just so great.
Mm-hmm. It was a good reminder of all the good fruit that came from that 70s movement and how it all kind of trickled down to us and in our generation that got, you know, saved, or, you know, whatever, however you want to call it. You know, we were saying that our leaders were the ones affected by that. And I know, like, my mom, she came to Christ when I think I was 3 years old. So that would be
right at the,
you know,
peak.
Yes. The peak of this, the end of the, or the movement. I don't know. It was probably what, 1980 or something. Yeah. So I know, and so listening even just to some of the music in the movie, it was kind of, it was cute because it kind of brought back some little feelings of like just the music that they would, you would hear, you know, and from those times, and just the message that it carried was always just very pure, you know, a very pure message just about their love for God and God's love for them.
Yeah. Yes, very amazing. And I think, like you mentioned, a lot of our leaders, mentors, pastors were a result of that Jesus movement. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of like what, second generation, maybe Jesus movement, mm-hmm. Second, third generation, you know, because like Lisa, who led me to the Lord, mm-hmm. she wasn't exactly part of that Jesus movement, but she was highly affected by it as well. Mm-hmm. Her parents were very affected by it. Yeah, she says she was 15 when that was like full blown, you know? So she remembers it. And so I think the effect it had on her obviously had an effect on me.
Yeah.
Because when I gave my life to Christ at 14, you know, part of her discipling me was giving me a bunch of music. And Andre Crouch she gave me a bunch of Andre Crouch CDs, which he was definitely part of that movement and his music and just, you know, and it was a beautiful music, you know, mm-hmm. like the movie said that the Jesus movement wasn't just a movement in churches, but it started a whole new genre of music, which was contemporary Christian music, which became super popular, which Andre Crouch was a huge part of that. And Love Song was part of the movie. And so it's an amazing movie. If we just found out this morning through church that the Jesus Revolution movie was projected to make $5 to $6 million. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, they invested it. They made the movie. This is going to make about $5 or $6 million. And it actually made 50.
Well, to date, right now, it's at 51 million.
Yeah, it's over 50 million. Mm-hmm. So it blew all their expectations out of the water, which is amazing, which shows, you know,
there's an interest
and the impact that it had. I mean, I'm sure a lot of the people were maybe people that were part of that.
Yeah.
You know, or their children, you mm-hmm. know, their parents are part of it. Or like us, I wanted to watch it. And we're like third generation from that. So it's a very influential movie. And it was so, so beautiful. I mean, like I said, for me, I wanted to watch it because of Chuck Smith, mm-hmm. Greg Laurie. Chuck Smith, for me, I used to... There was a season in my life where I was prohibited from going to church as a youth. Mm-hmm. More details about that coming later. Yes. But anyways, and in this season as a teen, when I was literally prohibited from going to church, I've discovered Christian radio.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who was a disciple of me told me about. And on that radio, I would listen to Chuck Smith. Mm-hmm. I would listen to Raul Reese. I would listen to Greg Laurie. I would listen to these pastors just preach. And so for me, they influenced me a lot. I love their teaching. And it was listening. I think it was Raul Reese. Listening to him, I was like, that led me to my knees. And I prayed and I said, God, you know, what he's doing is beautiful. I said, God, I would do anything if you could use my life to change somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. Like these pastors are changing my life, you mm-hmm. know? And it was amazing. So mm-hmm.
Especially because Raul Reese had such a powerful testimony with such a powerful transformation, kind of like you experienced. So you related to that and wanted to
give replicate back. Replicate it. If you don't know Raul Reese, for people not knowing, Raul Reese, there is a movie. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it in so long, so I don't know if it looks really old school. But it was called Fury to Freedom, I believe. The Raul Reese story. Very, very powerful story about how he got radically saved through Chuck Smith preaching on TV. Mm-hmm. Real quick, he was going to kill his wife, I think, right, with a gun. He had,
in a bout of anger waiting for her to get home.
If my memory serves me right, I may be wrong. Don't quote me on it. But I think he had a gun and he was going to kill his wife, I think. That's what I thought I remembered. Mm-hmm. And then she wasn't there and he was pacing the house waiting for her frantically, angrily. And he turned on the TV while he's waiting for her to get back home. And Chuck Smith was there preaching. Mm-hmm. And he gives his life to God. And then what beautiful thing is now he's a pastor of a Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, which is
such a powerful testimony.
Powerful testimony. Greg Laurie impacted me huge, which I didn't realize Greg Laurie played such a huge role in this movie.
I think for me that was the surprising factor of the movie. I didn't know that either. Yeah. And so as you're following the movie, you're like, whoa, that's Greg Laurie. And we know him from Harvest Crusades.
Harvest Crusades.
As teenagers, That was the big thing for us when we were in youth, and it would just go throughout different cities, and we were just so excited to attend those. And so that was kind of neat to see in the Jesus Revolution, to see his story and his testimony unfold, and how he, you know, came to be what he ended up, you know, doing for God.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And I think for me, Greg Laurie, you know, his ministry holds a special place in my life, because before I met you, I was, evangelism's always been my thing, you know? So I was at this church I was attending, and I was the only teenager going to evangelism training, you know? And they said that Greg Laurie, evangelist, is coming to San Diego at the Qualcomm Stadium to do a crusade, and they're looking for people to serve and help. Mm-hmm. So I remember, again, I was the only teen. I go over there, and I wanted to be an altar worker. So I was an altar worker for Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusade as a 14-year-old kid. And it was a beautiful experience for me to help people, pray the prayer with them and encourage them and love on them. And it was just beautiful. So, yeah, Greg Laurie, definitely. I did not know the movie was so much about him.
Yeah.
You know, it was actually probably, I mean, I don't know, it was like equal parts him and Chuck Smith. Yeah. And, of course, Lonnie.
Can't forget Lonnie.
Lonnie Frisbee. He's one of the our household favorites now. He's just a great character in the movie. It's just such a great character. His spirit, his good vibes. Yeah. it's such a. Mm-hmm. I think another thing that impressed me, just like The Chosen, so well produced.
Yes,
it's so. Produced so well, amazingly well, and I just love it. I loved it. The movie, I definitely want to watch it again. We paused it and cried a couple times during the movie. It's emotional, impacting. But speaking about that, I know there's a lot, but maybe you, if I asked you the question, what inspired you most about the movie, what would you say?
I think one of the things that was inspiring was to see Chuck Smith open up to what God was bringing, you know, because sometimes it is hard, you know,
when something new's coming
and, you know, to know, is this God or is this not God, you know? And especially in the church, he had a lot of opposition. A lot of the members were like, no. And, you know, but I think he started to see the fruit that was from that. And he, because he opened up a little bit to it, he was able to see even how it impacted his daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
Huge.
Yeah. Because before, you know, everything was very, you know, almost religious in a sense. And
tradition,
which is good and fine. Yeah. We need that foundation. But I think God really just wanted to, because what was happening in the other with the whole
Woodstock
and the hippie movement. You know, God wanted to touch them too, and he wanted to create a movement there with them too, and this was it. And the minute that he started to open up and the church, and he just started to see it grow, and he started to see that lives were really being changed, that's the fruit. You know, it's not just hype or fluff. There was actual testimony, there was actual fruit that you could see of lives being changed, including his own daughter.
Yeah.
So to me, that was inspiring, because it's not always easy to be like, okay, you know, we're going to, you know, how do you say, be open to that or whatever. But yeah, that was good.
And it's funny, because just talking about The Chosen last week, it reminds me of almost like the problem with the Pharisees, you know, when they it's like religious tradition doesn't like change. Mm-hmm. And the awesome thing about God is he's always doing a new thing. He's always.
But I think what was more, like I was saying, the fruit, the message of it was pure.
Yeah.
It was about God's love for them.
Yeah.
And they were just grateful that God loved them and accepted them. And, you know, that I think that when you can see that pure message of the word, that's when you know this is God.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, something else. Yeah. It's not, you know, for themselves. It's not for, I mean, they were the most humble group.
Yeah.
You know, they were willing to take whatever, you know, as a blessing from God, you know, anything.
It reminds you of like the Bible days in the book of Acts, where the book of Acts talks about the disciples sold everything they had to give to everybody so that he who had more helped the ones who had less. They all helped each other. It was like a real community.
And it was to continue to spread the word of God.
Yeah, with a purpose, with a purpose. So, I mean, it's so powerful. There's so much to talk about, man. There's just so much. I mean, well, I guess I'll talk about what inspired me the most, and then we'll go back. But remind me to go back to Woodstock, because I have something I want to say about Woodstock, but if I forget. But I think what inspired me the most about the movie, you touched on a little bit, was the purity.
Yeah.
The purity. And it's just, oh, it just wrecks me, and I hope I don't start crying. I'm getting teared up. But it's the purity of, oh my gosh, I'm literally going to cry.
Wow, I can see the tears.
That's not cool. I mean, but it's true. It's real. It's real because... if I think of Lonnie, I'll start laughing and I won't cry.
That's good vibes.
Good vibes. But I think what inspired me the most, and I literally, when I saw this, I paused the movie and I was in tears telling you and the family about why this movie was impacting me so much. It's because what you see in the movie is people getting saved. But their life is rocked. They are so excited that they got saved.
Yeah.
Like you said, their joy is that God loves them. Jesus accepts them. Jesus loves them. And for me, it's beautiful because that's real revival.
Yeah.
Real revival isn't about people. Isn't about ministries. It's about Jesus and Jesus only. And it reminds me tremendously when I gave my life to the Lord, you know, because it was just about Jesus. Now, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was, you know, partly because of the ones who led me to the Lord and helped me. And I mean, it was Lisa who was the result, her, you know, of that Jesus movement, you know, but she had that pure spirit that we saw in the movie. And she passed that on to me because it was purely about Jesus, purely about, I mean, I remember when I got saved, it was like, there's a scripture, David says, God restored to me the joy of my salvation. And what I experienced was the joy of salvation, where I didn't care about anything, nothing else, nothing, but just the fact that Jesus loves me and I am saved. And this is the best news, literally the good news.
Yeah.
It's the best news in the world. And I, like you said, I had a radical transformation. I mean, I changed instantly, overnight. Like from when I said that prayer till, you know, the second after, it's like my eyes were literally open. I was so excited and I wanted the whole world to know about this good news of Jesus's love, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if it's like maybe the churches we've been to or I'm not knocking any churches, but for me, I just personally don't like really see that in that. That's not what it's about in churches, you know?
Most.
I mean, like I said, and I haven't been to every church, I don't know, but it's almost like, and maybe it's because, I mean, I don't know, when you're a Christian, you have to learn how to grow. And, and it seems like a lot of churches' themes are about, you know, growing as a Christian, you know, how to love your family or have a good marriage and how to succeed in life and how to thrive and do all these things.
Which is good and it's needed.
It's good and it's needed. But I think that we've been into that realm so much that for me to watch this movie was kind of like God restoring the joy of my salvation and helping me realize what, I mean, because if you're reading the Bible in the book of Revelations, when there was a church that lost its first love.
Yeah.
And Jesus tells the church how to restore their first love. Mm-hmm. He says, go back and do the first works.
Yeah.
Do the first work. So for me, to watch this movie and see that joy of the Lord is our salvation again, that's the first works mm-hmm. for me. It's that's what set my life on fire
yeah.
and set me on fire for Jesus was just knowing that Jesus loved me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And I want the whole world to know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't care about jobs, careers, anything else, you know. It was Jesus and only Jesus, you know? And so for me, that's what inspired me the most about the movie
mm-hmm.
was just the purity of heart of just seeing, you know, people, like you said, these people in the movie so excited just to give their life to God,
mm-hmm.
to be saved and to experience that radical joy of salvation,
mm-hmm.
you know? And maybe that's what made it a revival. Maybe mm-hmm. that's what is a true revival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone wants revival these days. Everyone talks about revival. Everyone says this is the biggest revivals coming. Well, as far as I know, every revival I've ever studied, it's always just about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about
people wanting just to hear the word of God.
Yes.
Oh, preach the yeah. word of God. I mean, you go back and you watch Billy Graham's preaching while he was out there doing these crusades. It's literally just scripture out of the Bible. He isn't throwing on these fancy stories
yeah.
and, you know, all these things to like
yeah.
tie you in and yeah. to grab you. It's literally the Bible. I mean, and he's not just giving you the sweet stuff. He's giving yeah. you the hard stuff,
yeah.
the truth of like how we're supposed to live and yeah, how we're supposed to
heaven and hell.
Yeah. Wow. What is required of us, you know, when we give our lives to Jesus and people wanted to hear this and people were excited about it and people wanted to live this way.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's what makes revival.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I want to serve God because I want this. I want my
exactly,
business to this. I want my,
it's
big
nothing,
home. It's not that. It's
nothing materialistic.
It's all about the scripture and what God, you know, says to us. And so I think that that's what makes revival revival is that it's literally pure
Jesus.
It's all about
and
Jesus
only
and nothing
Jesus,
else.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what maybe what the world needs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. That's I'm saying maybe because I'm that's what the world
yeah,
needs.
For sure.
That's
I think everybody's gotten lost in all of these other things, which, you know, it is hard because we are living in this world
yes,
and
we
are working, we are raising families, we're, you know, trying to
balance many things in life.
Yeah, our relationships, our friendships, everything.
Business.
So we do need to learn how to do all those things, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we can't lose our focus on why we're serving God and why we want to share, you know, Jesus with the people that we love. You know, why do we want to do that? Because salvation, you know, because of eternity, because of the ultimate gift, right?
Yeah, that's true. And it's what, like, I've been yearning to see since I gave my life to Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, that vision to see multitudes get saved and give their life to Christ. And this movie just tapped and awakened that joy of salvation, which has really inspired me to share my testimony,
yeah.
you know, because that's what it was all about. And that's what changed my life. And I know that's what can change people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so passionate on sharing not only my testimony, but just sharing Jesus, the purity of Jesus. Do you mm-hmm. know Jesus?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the question that we learned from Greg Laurie mm-hmm. in the Harvest Crusades evangelism. And that's the question that me and Paul would walk down
mm-hmm.
the pier of Imperial Beach and just go up to strangers and say, hey, do you know Jesus? You know, and, you know, just so powerful,
mm-hmm.
so powerful. But what led to this great revival was Woodstock. Woodstock was still there. And I think, obviously, Woodstock played a role in it. You know, I think the I don't know all the details and the connections because that wasn't my era. That wasn't my era. But I know since Woodstock was blowing up, there was this yearning, at least in the clips we saw in the movie, Woodstock, with all the drugs and all, they were yearning for something beyond the natural.
Yeah.
Beyond the natural, supernatural. And peace and love, and if we could see in Greg Laurie's story, how he's searching, and his girlfriend, you know, they wanted to find truth and, and the love, and what is the truth, and so they're doing these experiences to find it, and only to realize that it's empty, you know, and then they did find the truth in Jesus. So, and I think it does relate to our world today with everything that's going on, the such chaos and the political realm, the every cultural realm, the there's moral realm. There's so much going on where I think this young generation
is searching.
It's going to be like, what is real? What is the truth? You know, because we're hearing all this stuff. And I pray that that's going to be key to lead to this next amazing move of God. Where, as Andre Crouch said, Jesus is the answer for the world. I'm not a good singer. I do not. But that's the truth. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And that's what that revival is all about. And that's what needs to be preached again today.
Yeah.
Yes, like you said, we all need our material things to live, to survive. We need income. We need business. We need homes. We need cars to transport our families. We need to raise our families. We need strong marriages. We need all that. But first,
don't lose sight of
our calling as Christians is to preach
salvation.
The good news. And the good news is that Jesus died and paid the price. For what? For our sins.
For us.
To give us forgiveness, to give us a new life. And that's amazing. Whew, that's so deep. That's so, I could talk about that forever. That's my passion. And that's why just connecting with the movie so much brought me into tears, because it just reconnected me to that. And I am just, I love it. And I want to see it. I believe it's, because you know what they, what I was listening to a podcast about evangelism today, this past week. And it's the truth. They say, you know, the methods change.
Yeah.
But the message doesn't.
True.
And I think the methods have changed so much that the message has changed.
True, yeah.
You know? As an evangelist, you want to change your methods, but you keep the message the same. Mm-hmm. But I think, I'm not, again, I'm not knocking the church in general, but I just think the condition of the world, the message of the church has changed.
Yeah.
And the message doesn't need to be changed. So I think it's almost a reverting back to the original message of the gospel, but even with a newer method, you know, with a newer method that maybe people still aren't going to get along with, not going to like, you know? And I was amazed. I think what surprised me was a couple of things. One was how music was such a prominent role.
Oh, yeah.
In that, you know, because it was a revival with the youth, the young people of that generation. And it was all about the music.
Yeah.
It was all about the music.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've always known it's music has been controversial when it comes to God and the church. And, you know, everybody has these opinions. But, you know, when we go back to the beginning, you know, this was something that God created.
Yeah.
Because it's so pure. Yeah. It's a form of connection. And I think that that's why it's something that always is connected to some kind of new movement or whatever. And it always has that opposition because it is powerful. We know we love music.
Oh, yeah.
We, as a family, we love music, we got, and we're very
concert goers.
Yes, we love all
the atmosphere.
Genres. Yeah. Yes, because it brings, it just brings a lot. So, and I think that we need to always make sure, you know, that that is something, you know, that it does attract, you know, people, and it touches people.
Yeah.
You know, because even listening to some of those songs, you know, they get in your head and you're just singing about God.
It always does. Mm-hmm. And I think like even like some of the hymns, the classic hymns, what what we realized is, I think I was talking to the Young Escape on their podcast, and I was saying it's awesome that they do music because me as a preacher and them as a musical artist, I was encouraging them, telling them that, well, music is something that's going to, people are going to remember for years because of the melody.
Yes.
The melody, the rhythm, the pattern versus, put it this way, do you remember a preaching from 10 years ago? Maybe it was a really good one. You remember clips of it.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to remember a song from 20 years ago.
For sure.
30 years ago. And that's the power of music.
Yeah.
And music is energy and motion, and it brings the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So for me, what surprised me was how heavily the music influenced and kind of opened the door. It's like, oh, it's a song to open up the door, whatever.
And Love Song?
Love Song was a prominent band that's in the movie, and they're in the movie a lot. And so this band called Love Song, they write these songs, but I mean, it's like revival and the music went hand to hand.
Yeah.
And the music is what attracted the youth, and they were all part of it. I remember that scene when they go into, when Lonnie is introducing Chuck Smith and, go ahead, boys, do your thing. And then they pick up their guitars.
Yeah.
They start singing these songs. And next thing you know, Chuck Smith puts them up in the church and they're playing this music.
Yes.
So my question is, musical artists, where are you?
Yeah.
Because the next generation is waiting for you to lead us into revival, to lead us into the next move of God, you know? And so it seems like music and this revival went hand in hand.
Yeah.
They complemented each other.
Yeah.
And I've seen it, you know, I've seen it happen. I mean, remember when we were at Angel and the Rubio's house?
Yep.
And Dee Dee was there singing.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful voice. She was in our youth group.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere just shifted.
Yeah.
You know, she just, I mean, this was a party.
A house party.
This was a house party. Like, we had a...
We're 90s youth kids.
So. 90s youth kids. So we would go to youth group.
Yeah.
On a Friday night. And then afterwards, we'd go to somebody's house to hang out, or, you know, we sometimes go play pool. We do whatever. We would do something after youth group. So in this particular occasion, we were all fired up for God, a handful of us. And then there was one of the guys was part of the youth group.
Yeah.
We went to his house afterwards. He invited us over. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there was his brother and all their unsaved friends were hanging out there having a party too. So we're like, uh-oh. So we're cool. We were in the room and Dee Dee started singing and the music changed the atmosphere. It shifted. All of a sudden we were in this room in the house and you know, and she's singing and then people start gathering around. Mm-hmm. So many people that it was like a scene of the Chosen, Jesus, because people gathered around to the room. So then we had to move out into the living room so everyone could fit.
Yeah.
And she keeps singing and this crowd gathers around. Mm-hmm. And then the evangelist in me just couldn't just leave it like that. So I get up there and I do an altar call. And I think like 13 people gave their life to Christ in tears right there in that living room. But again, it's beautiful to see that because it was music that kind of brought this presence, atmosphere.
Yeah. That shifted.
From a party where people were not
the vibes.
The vibes. And so I know that's what impressed me. That's what surprised me most about the movie was how heavily music influenced it. For you, is there anything in the movie that really surprised you about that you didn't expect?
I just didn't I didn't know it was Calvary Chapel and all that. I didn't know that that's where it started and then that's how it exploded. I didn't know those were the beginnings of all that. And so that was kind of neat to see.
Yeah.
And then even just to see you know, Lonnie and his little extra giftings, you know, that he brought, you know, and so that changed and touch some people too, yeah. you know? So, just to see those things, it was a little surprising and,
yeah.
but I was wow, we know, okay.
Yeah. You're talking more about the spiritual yeah. gifts, you know, the heal, because we know Calvary Chapel is not mm-hmm. too into the spiritual gifts, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, I know their saying is where the spirit and the word meet. Mm-hmm. And maybe that saying came out of that because yeah. that's what you see the conflict of mm-hmm. Chuck between Chuck Smith and Lonnie Frisbee mm-hmm. in the movie, where Chuck is like, man, let's just stick to the word, man. Yeah. And Lonnie's like, spirit's moving, bro. And so they're feeling this yeah. conflict. And so maybe that's what Calvary Chapel's yeah. heart is. We want to be where the spirit and the word meet.
Yeah.
And so they established that. But at the same time, you know, Lonnie, you know, was, like you said, people did get ministered. People got healed. People yeah. got healed in his meetings mm-hmm. there. And Chuck Smith was there and he's like, what are you doing? He's yeah. like, God wants to heal somebody, you know? And so it that was surprising.
Yeah.
I did not expect to see yeah. that at all. I'm like, wow,
yeah.
I did not know that. That's very awesome. So, there's so much we could talk about, so much, but why do you think someone listening to this podcast who haven't seen the movie, why should they watch the movie?
Well, I think, like, for me, I guess it just depends on where you are,
yeah.
you know, what your experience was, you know, with yeah. God growing up or in the past years or whatever. But for me, it did bring back just, some, you know, just some good foundational feelings, you know, of like, yeah. like you said, takes you back, like, oh, yeah. the pure message of salvation. And it reminds you, like, oh, yeah, that's why we serve God.
That's why.
You know, we need to keep spreading the message to people, and we can't forget to tell our friends about God, and we can't forget to pray for our unsaved relatives and friends, because, you know, they haven't experienced it, so they don't know what it is. Mm. And once they experience it, it's life changing. And so we need to remember, it kind of takes you back to
the roots
and
foundations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's what it kind of reignites that, fans that flame and gets it back. Oh yeah. That's what we're doing here.
Because
we can easily get sidetracked with everything going on in this world, with all the programs that church offers nowadays. You know, all great things, but we need to stay focused and remember
roots,
the foundation.
And it's funny because just hearing you say that, it reminds me of, like, I think it was John Wooden, the most winningest coach in history, basketball coach. I think it was Tony Robbins was talking about him a lot, and he was mentioning how when he came to take this, to coach this team, to lead them to years of consecutive championships, is he took them back to the basics.
Yeah.
He says, we're going back to the basics. Mm-hmm. And they're like, the basics, we should be learning. No. Mm-hmm. And he go back to the basics, And I mean, I think maybe this movie is part of a way that got, and especially how it blew the lid off of it, if its expectations.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's a way that God is trying to get the church to go back to the basics, Where, of course, like you said, the way it progresses is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They're good things, but
sometimes the focus can
sometimes you get so focused on the other things, you lose sight of what's most important, the foundations. And whenever you do that, you need to get back to your foundations. And that's exactly what Jesus said to the church in the book of Revelations. You know, he says, go back to your first love, go back to the foundation, go back to what matters.
Yeah.
You know, so with that being said, I just think that, I mean, I was going to ask a question I wrote in my notes is, what do you think would bring another revival like that? And for me, I think just going back to the foundations, going back to what, the pure gospel, just Jesus, purely Jesus.
I mean, even just going back just to the word, because how many people sitting in these big churches, how many of them really know the word? You know, most of them come and they just hear a message on Sunday, and but do they really know the scripture? Do they really know, like, oh, you know, if I'm going through this, I know that God says this, 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 and that.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling this, I know God, I can, you know, God says in the Bible, blah, 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 blah. You know, can they remember that? Can they know that? Like, you know, and I think that when, if they go back to that and just the word of God and what he says to us, I think that that would bring a lot of, it would bring a big change in our own spirit.
Yeah.
So I'm just talking each of us responsible for ourselves.
Yeah.
And with that being, you know, with us doing that, I think it will bring an overall big change to the way we approach things, you know, the way we approach ministry in the church. Mm-hmm. You know, is it about God or is it about you?
Mm, yeah.
Is it about God or is it about this specific ministry?
Yeah.
Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Are you doing it for God or are you doing it for some other reason?
Yeah.
And I think that just going back to the word of God and, you know, filtering ourselves through that, it brings that purity back.
Yeah.
Purity. You know, which in return will bring a message of purity back, you know, of just God's word and God's love and his promises and, you know,
It's true. Yeah. It's true. 'Cause I mean, unfortunately, you know, there's so many other reasons people seek God and even ministry.
Mm-hmm.
We know as pastors and we've been with multiple pastors and ministry leaders and heads of ministries and throughout our 30 years of ministry, you know, and unfortunately we know many of them are serving God for other reasons, you know, and they start off pure, but then it becomes something else. It's like, that's the image that, you know, is being portrayed to people as Christians. Mm-hmm. And I just think if we get back to the heart.
And I think God's going to move regardless because he's going to touch people's lives, but how much more, you know, if the message is pure, the intentions are fully about salvation in God, like what the word says, I think that it would just be so much more powerful. And I think that's what would bring revival is just really, really that focus on God.
Yeah. It's almost like a mixture like a recipe needs to take place for revival to really take place. Like we saw it in the movie, there was the Woodstock, there was the hunger of this generation. And then there was, you know, the music, and then there was preaching Jesus and his love. And so that ended up this perfect recipe for revival.
Yeah. I mean, I think kind of even goes with the message we heard this morning, you know, and we've heard it said over and over and over that, you know, this generation, they don't know, like they're the least, you know, informed of like exposure to God. And but you know what? That in turn can be a great thing. Because now they don't have all these things, ideas. So when they're presented with the pure message of the word of God and what he's here for, you know, to do for us, you know, or give us, I think that they'll receive it so much more purely, and their transformation will be more pure than, you know, expecting all these other things.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. It's almost like
it's a setup.
Because I remember the statistic was that this is the most biblically illiterate generation in history. Well, maybe that is a good thing. Maybe that's because God's like trying to do something new. And so sometimes, you know, it's like it becomes like the Pharisees. You know, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And just like we saw in the movie when the old, so there were even people that left Chuck Smith's church because he opened the door to the hippies, they called them, you know. And so as he opened the door to them, well, other people left because they didn't like it. And so that could be a big sign. There's so many signs that we know that revival is about to hit like crazy, and I want to be a part of it. We're going to be a part of it. And preaching Jesus is definitely going to be the heart of it. The heart of it, the pureness of Jesus and the gospel, and the fact that this movie did way multiple, mm-hmm. almost, you know, 10x its projected income, is showing that I think this generation's ready.
Yeah.
I think it's ready. So I don't know. I mean, with that being said, we talked a lot about the movie. Yeah. We could probably talk a lot more about it. There's a lot more about Lonnie I would like to talk about and things like that. So I don't know if this podcast did inspire you and encourage you. Please let us know in the comments. We always want to know. The only downside, I think, about podcasting is it seems like a one-way road. You know, it seems like we create a podcast, we shoot it out there, we see the statistics of the downloads, but we never get a two-way interaction.
You could interact with us on Instagram.
We are on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Good old-fashioned email works. Yep. goodlifenow@yahoo.com. So let's make this podcast a two-way street. Let us know you're enjoying it. Let's have some interaction. Let us know that you're glad my wife is back. Let us know if you want to see my daughter's back on the next episode. There's a lot of great things going on, and we just cannot wait to talk about so many other great things. And revival is going to be the heart of it, and we want your Good Life Now to just really be a part of that. Mm-hmm. Next move of God, revival, because we know Jesus being the heart of it is what it's all about. So thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. If you're able to leave a comment, go ahead, leave a comment. Leave a review. If you're wherever you're listening to podcasts, if they let you leave a review, it really helps the podcast. So thank you guys so much. Until next time, guys, cheers to your... You're supposed to join.
Cheers to your good life.